Our Bible reading for today is Jeremiah 1, which is on page 756 of the Church Bible. Reese.
The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests at Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, and through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am too young." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am too young.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of the Lord came to me, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" "I see the branch of an almond tree," I replied. The Lord said to me, "You have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled." The word of the Lord came to me again, "What do you see?" I see a pot that is boiling," I answered. "It is tilting towards us from the north." The Lord said to me, "From the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. I am about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdoms," declares the Lord. "Their kings will come and set up their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against all her surrounding walls and against all the towns of Judah. I will pronounce my judgments on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me, in burning incense to other gods and in worshipping what their hands have made. Get yourself ready, stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. I'm going to let me pray before we think about this. And Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is powerful. We ask that you would work powerfully in us now. Help us to understand. Help us to be convinced. In Jesus' name, amen. Great. I'm going to put some slides up now. And on the, I think it's my left. Actually, keep it up the first picture. That is my right. On my, your left. On my right, I'm going to bring up a picture. And on my left is going to be something that you have to fight. On the right is your weapon. So as you can see, fists. And on the other side is going to be what you have to fight. Okay? And you just think in your head, do you think you could win? Okay, can we have the next picture, please? Anyone want to put their hands up to think they can beat a hippopotamus? Okay. Okay, next picture. Next one as well. Anyone think they could win with a gun? Put your hands up if you think you can win with a gun. There's a few people. Okay, great. Next one. Fists again. Next one. An army. Anyone? Okay. Next one. What about if you had your own army? Maybe? Yeah, yeah. Is it if you fancy yourself a good general or not? Okay. Next picture. And the next one. What about if you had words and you was fighting the world? Just words. Next picture. Yeah, great. What if you had God's word and you had a word from God saying you could fight an army with it? Just your words. Any confidence? Okay, there's a few hands. Don't put hands up for the next one. The word of God against the whole, just think in your head. Do you think you'd actually have a chance? Okay, we can take that in the slides now. Thanks. I imagine a lot of you would have said in your heads, yeah, sure. But is that really true? We say that all the time. God's word is really powerful. But are you really convinced that if you had a word from God saying you could take down the world, that you could actually do that? If I told you that you had a word from God, a true word from God, that said, go speak against China or the US, like the two biggest nations in the world, would you really have confidence to stand in the streets of LA or Beijing or wherever and speak these words and actually have confidence that it will crumble? Because here in Jeremiah, as told, this weak single person on his own, but my words, through my words, you will tear down a nation. The word through this weak person has unrivaled, unmatched, destructive power. So let me read from verse 1 again. From verse 1 again. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests at Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin, the word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, and through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, the king of Judah, down to the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. It's a little bit confusing. So I thought we'd have a quick recap of where we are in the history of the Bible. I'm going to have some slides come up. Let's get up to date. So at first, we had Israel. It's a nation. It's God's nation. They were his chosen people before they rejected him and before Jesus came. So this isn't speaking about Israel today. The whole of the Old Testament was before Jesus, and Israel was pointing towards Jesus. So next slide, after David and his son Solomon were kings, the nation split into two, into Israel and Judah. Next slide, and Israel had lots of bad kings who rejected God, and because of that, the people rejected God, and then Israel was rejected by God for that. He allowed an enemy nation to destroy them. Our next slide shows that eventually the same happens. In these first few verses of Jeremiah, we get given the whole of what's going to happen during Jeremiah's life. And during Jeremiah's life, the southern kingdom, Judah, is wiped out, put into exile. So Jeremiah starts under a good king, Josiah. And he's speaking to people from then onwards. And by the end, there's more bad kings and Judah's wiped out. So we can take that slide down now. And that's where we're up to in the timeline. Now, this is the start of Jeremiah's ministry. So you see, he has a daunting task, a scary task, to speak God's word to a nation that most of his life hated God. But he gets on with it, he perseveres, and it's because he has the word of God. Jeremiah will show us the power of God's word in the words of one person. His words will be God's word. And that leads to our first point today. It's going to come up on the screen. The word uses the weak. The word uses the weak. So we've seen it isn't great in Jeremiah's time. When Jeremiah starts, there's been years of people not trusting God. There are idols everywhere. And there are people worshipping other gods. Loads of people in Judah are looking for other things than God. And this is what Jeremiah is called to preach to, a nation of people who are not following God. But this has always been God's plan. Look down with me at verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah was always known to the Lord. He knew him before he was even born. And now the Lord has come calling. And what's his role? Verse 5. Prophet to the nations. This man will speak God's word to the nations. So the nations is referring to the bad countries all around Judah. But it's also referring to God's people as well. At this point, the nations are scary, they're powerful. Judah is weak. Their brother, Israel, has just been wiped out. And Judah's looking like a really weak place now. And Jeremiah, this one person from this weak place, is going to be a prophet to all of them, the nations included. So understandably, Jeremiah says, verse 6, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you." Jeremiah is either here saying he's too young, so he's not got any experience, or he's just young and experienced. But either way, he's not very good at talking. He's got no experience. He's not like some of these people you see who are great TED Talk speakers. He isn't very good. He's young. But the Lord says, no, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that you can't speak. You will wield what is mine. My word in your mouth. So the Lord does this. Verse 9. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Little old Jeremiah, the one who's young and inexperienced, he doesn't even speak well. He's about to have God's words in his mouth and uproot and tear down nations. What incredible imagery. And many of you probably have done some gardening in the past. I don't know loads about it, but I understand the very basics. Have you ever uprooted anything? Has anyone ever uprooted weeds or anything like that? Not many of you? No? Okay. Well, would anyone like to uproot something from a pot? Anyone? Yeah, go on. Come on, Theodora. I just want you to stick that in. Try not get it on the carpet. And just pull that out. Yeah? Just lift it up. Nice. Well done. See that? Well done. Everyone give Theodora a clap. Well done. So Theodora just pulled out, not a very big one, but it's a bit of stuff there. but you see the imagery. God is saying, with Jeremiah's words, this is the nation Israel, Judah, sorry, and this is what his words are going to do. His words, you see how easy that was for me to lift a bit of grass, a bit of soil out of that with my hands? That is what Jeremiah is going to be used for by God. Jeremiah, just through the words God has given him, is going to rip up a nation and replant it. Isn't that incredible imagery? Nations will be ripped, their roots along with it, through the words of God in the prophets, in one man. Cities, empires, imagine the whole of Dagenham, everything being ripped up through words of one person. In Genesis, God created everything with a word. Now the nations will be recreated in the same manner. It's mighty, it's powerful, his word. And it works through weak people. A weak person like Jeremiah. It works through weak people today. It's an incredible thought, isn't it? How many people are today in Dagenham? Apparently, 2021 statistics says 218,900. Now, church attendance is obviously nowhere near that. And probably a lot of churches in Dagenham don't believe in the Bible anyway. There might be a few thousand Christians in Dagenham, I don't know. In school, there's probably not many Christians. There's lots of Muslims. I know some of the kids have told me that. Do you believe that through us weak lot, God can make Dagenham, through his word, bow down and worship him? Pendagnum, or the school that you go to, be plucked up, rooted, and made new. I think we live in a country where there aren't many Christians, and it just seems unfathomable. It just doesn't seem like it's even possible. But that, I'm not saying that's God's plan, but that's the power we're seeing here. That's what God's word is doing. This is what the word of God can do. It can because it has. It can because it does. As we speak words from the Bible, truths about Jesus, people can be saved. And the most powerful work can happen in them. It uses weak people like us. Let's jump back into Jeremiah. And we see this assured by what God shows in the next few verses with two illustrations. Second point today. The word has destructive power. The word has destructive power. We've got two illustrations here, an almond tree and a boiling pot. One is saying that the words of God will come to fruition. It will happen. And one is saying that judgment is coming on Judah. Let's read from verse 11. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an almond tree, I replied. The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. Apparently, almond trees were the first to blossom in season. When the moment comes, when the season arrives, when the time of the prediction of God's word has arrived, when God has said something will happen, he will be waiting to make sure it happens. He will be ready. It isn't like me. It won't. The excuses we can't with. A meeting overran. I forgot to update Zoom before I jumped on the meeting. Or an extra 15 minutes alarm or snooze or whatever. When he says it will happen at a particular moment, it will happen. When you talk to people about Jesus, nothing may seem to be happening at times. And maybe that person will never accept Jesus, because actually that's God's word working in judgment. However, if it's his plan for someone to be saved or not, it will happen at the time he has said. We may not know that, but it happens. It happens with Jeremiah. For years and years and years, he's saying this stuff. People treating him badly. Years. And it's only years later that it comes to fruition. It actually happens. In God's time, it happens. All you need to do is speak it, and God's will be done. Especially like current youth generation, is a lot of, we expect instant gratification. We're used to immediate responses with the speed of the internet and social media. So it can seem harder, but it will happen when God has planned for his word to take place. Definitely. The family member who just doesn't get it, the one who time after time says they believe in God, they're just not sure about the whole Jesus thing. Miracles and rising from the dead. Your friends at school saying, yeah, no, I've got Allah. Jesus was just a prophet. Conversation after conversation after conversation. They just don't see who Jesus is. But God is waiting and watching over his word. His plan may be to never reveal Jesus to them. But his plan may be later on. But either way, that's still him working through his word. And secondly, we get this boiling pot. Let me read from verse 13. The word of the Lord came to me again. What do you see? I see a pot that is boiling, I answered. It is tilting towards us from the north. The Lord said to me, from the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. I have a pot here. It's not a boiling pot, but a blacksmith used. But blacksmiths were these people who, well, they still are today. I don't know how many there are today. But they use metal, they melt metal to make things like swords or armor or whatever. And it goes so hot, the pots they use, that it can even melt metal. I've got a video coming up just to show what it looks like when they're pouring metal out or whatever it is that they've been burning. Yeah, bring up the next one, please. Yeah. Great. You can turn it down now. Now, I don't know what the north and the south is, but here in the text, it says from the north, disaster will be poured out. I don't know what north and south is where I'm standing in right this moment. But let's say you're the south sitting in front of me and I'm the north. If I tip a pot, imagine it was even bigger than this, it was as big as this church. If I tip it over and hot molten steel comes out like you just saw, do you know what happened to everyone here? You get burnt up and then you'd probably die. And actually, it would probably destroy most of the stuff in this building. The chairs wouldn't stand a chance. Everything would burn. Everything would be destroyed. And God is not actually going to tip a pot over over Judah, but he's saying the destruction that's going to come through your words, Jeremiah, is going to be as bad as that. He's going to send kingdoms to bring judgment on Judah. God is angry with his people because they rejected him. They rejected God. They went away from him. They worshipped other gods. And we saw Israel earlier on the pictures I put up. They're going to come up again. Now, just flick through them quickly. Yeah, great. Israel and then Judah is eventually destroyed. It will be complete. It will be utter. The kings will put their thrones on the doorsteps of Jerusalem. They'll be laughing at them. Everyone coming in and out of Judah, their city, Jerusalem, they will see what's happened. I know one of the most powerful thing you own is maybe a car. I even met someone at the new college I go to. He even has a gun. I don't know what you think about that, but he has a gun. And that's a pretty powerful thing. And for what we've seen today, the utter destruction that can come, Jeremiah says, this is the most powerful thing we can have, we can wield. This is the most powerful thing. We don't have the same message as Jeremiah. That's happened already, the destruction of Judah. But he had the word of God, and through it, he was told that a nation would be brought down. And it did. Everything happened. The enemy came. They destroyed them. If we believe that the word of God has this much power, then we must believe that if it is God's will, then his word spoken through his people will have the same power today. The word we speak is as powerful as a melting pot over a nation. As powerful an army. More powerful, actually. We can have great confidence as we speak to people. We're speaking words that are more powerful than bombs going off. In the Gospel of John, we see that Jesus came as the Word of God. He was made man as flesh like us. He is the Word of God. Jesus is at work today as the Word of God. He is powerfully at work today as we speak words that point to him. It's already happened. If you're a Christian here today, it's worked powerfully in you. You know God through the powerful word. And do you believe that as you speak God's word, as you explain the Bible to a friend, you are speaking more power than nuclear bombs going off? When you speak about Jesus, power unmatched is happening. You may have them conversations over and over and over again. Countless times. They don't understand that they're a sinner. They think they're okay. They're a pretty good person. They worship another God. Maybe they think they haven't done enough bad things to be punished. Maybe they just don't want to make a change. There's other things that are more important than Jesus. When you're speaking to that person again and you're thinking, what's the point? Remind yourself of Jeremiah, the guy who had no experience. No good words to say. But his words brought down a nation because they were the word of God. Verse 17 said, God says to Jeremiah, do not be terrified by them. You have something greater than anything this world offers, the word of God. I find that as I speak about Jesus, especially the people I've already spoken about a number of times, it gets harder. I guess the part, once you've said something once or twice, you think that's kind of the best thing I can say. They're not going to be convinced by this next thing. And you see, that's me thinking, Reese thinking, I need to say something really profound, something really clever, something really good to persuade someone. I've used the good stuff from the Bible. How am I going to work with this? Not as good stuff, not as convincing. But that's me not trusting in the power of God's word. It's me thinking God needs me to have the best argument possible. But we've seen today all that's needed is God's word. I'm not saying you don't say anything. If you just say Jesus to someone, they don't know what the name Jesus even means. Then of course, you've not said God's word. But it's not about how well we can say it. It's just about speaking God's word. God is at work through his word. If you say at school, Jesus really is God, and he loves people, and he wants to forgive them for their sin, God is working powerfully. So speak it. Keep speaking it. The power is the same as the power that brought down a nation. The word through the week, through even you, has unrivaled destructive power to pluck up, to plant, to save. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word that he revealed himself as the Lord Jesus, and that he's working powerfully today through the words we speak. Please convince us of that. Please let us know that you will do your work at your time, and all we need to do is speak your word. Please help us to have a great trust in you. Amen.